Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line for me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Amen. It's good to be back on another Thursday night in the DMV. We thank God for blessing us. We had a few cool days leading up today. I know we had to turn the heat on, It was a little chilly. But we thank God the sun's back out, back in the 80s today. And we thank God we got to be able to take some of the rain and deal with the rain, and so we can appreciate the sunshine. So let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Well, Sheila G, we thank God for getting us back into the Word, and we know how powerful the Word of God is. We know that God will and God can make a way, and we keep trusting Him to continue to make ways for us. And as we look at the Apostle Paul in this 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, we see that God has blessed him to understand that ultimately, in spite of the situation, in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the lies folk tell, in spite of all the things that go down, that ultimately God was going to get the glory. And we say the political and the religious environment back in biblical days is the same old political and religious environment of today, where you have people struggling, fighting with each other, trying to remain in power, treating each other any old kind of way, and disregarding God's word. But ultimately, through all of man's trials and all of man's shenanigans, God the glory. Sheila G.
Amen. We're truly seeing that whatever you do in the dark, it comes out in the light. And if you don't know him by now, you're going to get to know him. And when you put your trust in man, or you put your trust in ego and that love of money, it always backfires. It may take a minute, but it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
He just shows that man, they think they're in power, but they're not. So they're going after and compromising, no moral compass for power, but it's all going to be for naught because ultimately God is in control.
Amen, amen. And so when you get to that that place in your life where you realize that God is in control, what happens is you get bolder for the Lord, and we see Paul where he's in the midst of these crowds that don't like him, whether it's the Roman citizens or the Jews. He has grown so much, and his faith is so strong in the Lord that when they come and show all of their disregard or disdain for him, that he knows that Paul will fight your battle. And Dr. G, I know you've been ministering, and in your ministry that you have come to know God as one that he will fight your battle, where you don't have to say anything, but you can stand still and rely on God to fight your battle. And so we here see Paul being interrogated. We see Paul being mistreated. People screaming, get rid the earth of him, and you know, that he's not fit to live, and all kind of persecution coming on him. And Paul just simply stands on the word of God. Paul simply states the facts, and God works the situation out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and that's exactly what Paul was doing. It is a growing process, and you've got to get to the point where no matter what you go through in life, you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has got your back, that he is the center of your life, and no matter what else may be going on, you know, you're not concerned about it, you're not worried about it. All you're concerned is about being about God's business, doing what he wants you to do.
Amen. That's powerful. Sheila G, want to chime in on that?
Well, the key in order to get to that place is to recognize that we are made of the natural man and the supernatural. So we can't be holier than thou and act like it's not going to bother us and act like we're not going to be upset or offended by it, but we just don't let that fear, that upset, that anger, that emotion overcome us.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow, mm-hmm. we feel it, but we learn to let it go and not let it control us and then lean onto the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what I was talking to
mm-hmm.
you about, how when you went through that recent experience when you were sick, that because you fasted
yeah.
and prayed, you knew that when your flesh was being attacked, it was being attacked. We cannot say that because we're in Christ, we don't get upset, we don't worry, things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, we have anxiety. We just don't let it control us. We turn to the Holy Spirit, but the only way that you can do that and crucify that flesh is by growing in the Spirit.
Amen, amen. And I believe that Paul, in this situation where he's in front of the Romans, he's in front of the Jews, he had to have reflected back, like you said, in the Spirit and seen what Jesus went through the night when he was betrayed and the night when he was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall, when he was beaten and flogged for no reason. And in the record, you know, they confronted him and said, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, you say it. he never said a mumbling word. He never lost his composure. But we see Paul in this next chapter. His tongue gonna get a little loose. His tongue gonna get a little loose. I always laugh when you say, did Dr. G tell you, well, I'm not Jesus.
Yeah. That's
right. So every now and then the human side is you can walk by flesh and you walk by faith, but you still have a tendency, amen, to behave in a way that's not just like Jesus. Jesus is the example. I'm sure he set the example, and Paul was trying his hardest to set that example. But every now and then, they say, every now and then, the flesh will have you say something that the Spirit says, see, I told you not to say that. And all of us have been there.
Yeah.
Well, we know what the Spirit is saying, but the flesh says something that the Spirit said, I told you not to say that. And we understand that we have an example in Jesus, and we always have to strive to follow that example, Sheila G.
Amen. If I told you I had to develop that 10-second rule, because that little pink member, that tongue, well, it's you get to talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so you got to do that 10-second rule. Check yourself when those emotions rise up. But it's a learning experience, and it's a learning of how to rechannel your emotions to the Spirit. And sometimes it is literally walking away and biting your tongue so hard that you don't say anything, even though when you may know that you're right and you have a right to say something, if God says don't say it right now, because it could be that he wants them to make a fool of themselves. But if you step in, you go down there, because people can't argue with themselves. That's why I used to always tell my kids and people, it's like, people can't argue with themselves. So why are you going to argue with somebody when you know you're right? Just keep it down, be quiet, let them run on until they can't talk anymore. But we get all up in our feelings and want to express our opinion, and it's not going to change the situation anyway. And then we're in God's way. But it rises up, and that's why you got to do that 10-second rule. Should I say something? Should I not? And then a lot of times when you make that, this is how you grow, when you make that conscious effort, know that your feelings are hurt, know that you want to lash out, and you know that God is, you want to say, but God, but God, but God, and you don't say anything, and then you see God work it out, then you're like, wow, look at God. But if I had, it would have been like the last time where I made the situation worse.
Right, right. Yeah, so let's pick up in this chapter 22, and we want to read down to verse 27. It says, the commander went to Paul and asked, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And the commander is in charge, and they were at this big ruckus. They wanted to kill Paul. And so Paul told the centurion, the guy that was under commander, he said, is it law for you to be the Roman citizen? And he's like, oh, no, we done messed up. And this is going to get back to Caesar. Then not only are the Jews off the chain, but the Romans are off the chain too, and all of us are going down. And so here Paul is in this situation where Paul is saying, God is working this thing out. Yeah. And so the commander said, he went to Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes, I am. He's like, oh, crap. And in verse 22, he said, the commander said, I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship. In other words, he's trying to cheapen Paul's citizenship. He said, you bought it. You're not a real citizen, are you? But Paul says, yeah, but I was born a citizen, Paul replied in verse 28. And so both the Jews and the Gentiles were in a spot where they were getting ready to get reported up to Caesar, where they all was going to suffer. Because Caesar didn't want no junk. Y'all can worship the way you want and be over there. And the centurions, they were supposed to watch over them. As long as we got peace, we got peace. I don't want to hear no foolishness, no uprising coming back this way. And so in verse 29, when both of them find out they was in trouble, it says those who were about to interrogate him withdrew what? Immediately. we don't want any trouble, Caesar.
Yep.
We don't have no problems, And the commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. It's like, got to be more careful.
Yes.
We're going to know this, going to get up to Caesar. He's going to be like, why didn't you find out he was a Roman before you did this? This makes us look bad. This makes us look like we don't know what we're doing. And now it's damage control. And it's funny when you see God fight your battle, where God get the glory, where you see the people that meant things for your bad and watch God turn it out for your good. And then they go into damage control. They damage control. They're like, oh, we done messed up. Oh, no, we done did it. Then they double down and start lying even more. And we'll see. We'll see how they drag a whole, this next chapter, chapter 23, they're going to drag a whole lot of folk in. They're going to do a whole lot of lying. And God is going to do a whole lot of damage to their conspiracies and their stories. And it just reminds me of the things that are going on today.
Right.
That you know, over 2,000 years ago, this stuff is still going on. It's like it's still, you're still involved with man. And when you're involved with man, he does the same old to try to stay in power, to try to disregard God, to try to do whatever it is to bring each other down. And it's really sad, but not only is it sad, but it's harmful, it's hurtful to each other. And let's look at verse 30 before we go to chapter 23. He says, the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So now he wants to get to the bottom of it. He said, I done messed up, I done flogged the man, I done put him in chains. We need to get to the bottom of this before Caesar sends somebody down here to mess us up. So doing damage control. So it says, and this is verse 32. So the next day he released him and ordered the chief priest and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. So he released Paul and said, we need to get the bottom of this because I'm sure the word is going to get out. Jews are going to find out. So we need to release Paul, then we need to bring all these Jews back together, and we need to find out what's going on so that when Caesar comes, we're not going to be in trouble.
Right.
And so he got all the group together to try to do damage control. And the damage is already done. And God is in control. So they're going to break bad because now they get caught. Now they're standing before the commander of the Roman guard. And they got all the Jewish leaders out. Now the Jewish leaders look bad because they done got drugged before the commander. So all of their power and their authority is looking bad. So all of them sitting there looking bad, and they're going to bring Paul out to try to straighten it out. Shield G.
Amen, amen. That's why people always want to point the finger. Well, what do we say? Throw somebody else under the bus. But it's the same.
Yeah.
Thing that it's like we got to pass the blame to point the finger under somebody because we don't want anybody to see that our stuff is messed up. And you see that's what happens when they see what we call it, the haterade and everything when somebody's doing what's right and you're looking bad. And you've actually heard people say, by you doing good, and we've seen this in corporate, by you getting your work done and you're getting your stuff done in a timely manner, you're making us look
right.
bad. You know,
right.
And it's same thing. It's like, so they're going to throw him, but God is with him. And in relations today, in comparison, I really remember we having a discussion, it seems like it's almost a year ago, when Russia decided that they were going to take over Ukraine in a couple of weeks and capture the city. And the leader, as small as Ukraine was, they didn't have the big military, they didn't have the people, they didn't have the weapons, and everybody's like, oh, they're just going to get crushed. But their leader said every day and got on TV, on whatever, every day and said to his people, if God is with us, then who could be how can they possibly be against us? And he said
Amen.
That every day, and it got those people generated that, to your point, we may get killed, we may get struggled, but we are not going to just bow down to this, because if God is with us, he's going to get us through this. Is there going to be pain? Is there going to be challenge? Is there going to be loss of life? Well, here, months later, the big evil Russia, they got to drag people off the streets to try to fight, and areas that they just lied and said, okay, we're having this ceremony, we're taking over these territories. No, you're not. But it's because the leadership kept pointing to God, whereas Putin and Russia was pointing to man and the strength of man, but the strength of man is nothing compared to the power of God.
Amen, amen. And that is what something, Dr. G, that Paul understood. And so as we start chapter 23, Paul states his case before the Romans and the Jews. And this is just the boldness of Christ, the boldness of the Roman, not the Roman, of the Christian, to be able to stand against the face of enemies. I'm reminded of the psalm that David said, that though a host encamp about me, in this I will be confident. And,
right.
And he said, my enemies stumble and fail. And they say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And so in chapter 3, Paul states his case, and he states his confidence in God. And in chapter 23, verse 1, he says, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, these are the Jews that were in the presence of the Roman government. He looked straight at them and said, my brother, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. And he didn't bite his lip. He said, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on the promises of God, and in front of the Romans and in front of the Jews. And Paul's relationship with God had brought him to this place, Dr. G.
Well, that's, you know, you're right. When you get to that point in your life, you become, I don't want to say superhuman, but super spiritual. God gives you that Holy Ghost boldness that, you know, you can withstand the attacks of the enemy. You can stand and preach and say what needs to be said, and you're not really worried about what may or mm-hmm. may not happen. And that's the way, that's what we're attempting to do, to teach, to get, you know, folk to the point where their faith is that strong, where, you know, you're not afraid of anything, you're not afraid to speak the word to family, friends alike, but you go on and do as the Holy Spirit guides you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Sheila G, what we see here also is Paul's not being a people pleaser. And what I mean by that is he's not worried about the religious leaders of that day. He's not worried about the political leaders of that day. And you see that in today, that there's so many religious leaders that have lost their moral compass. There's so many political leaders have lost their moral compass. That they'll say and do anything. And especially when you call them hypocritical, when you say this is what the truth is, and they don't want to bow down to the truth because they lost their way. People in spiritual high places have lost their way. People in political high places have lost their way. They have become reprobate. They have become antichrist. They have become apostate. And they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong.
Yeah.
But because they have no, like Dr. C, your super Holy Ghost spiritual foundation, they can't stand up and say the truth because it'll make them look bad, so they think in front of their political or religious leaders.
And as you was talking about it, the boldness of Paul making that statement, it's because he's basically saying, I don't need the validation. I don't need to be validated by man or what you think. I'm already mm-hmm. validated. So whatever you say, whatever you do, my validation, my meaning comes from God. And that's the problem, is we have gotten to a point in this society, and like you said, there's nothing new under the sun, because here you have it here, is everybody is looking to be validated and have that power and get that fulfillment from man. And it's, you know, we were talking Sunday about idols. So, and God is a jealous God. And so if you're putting in your political power, your religious power, of who can be the boss, who can be the leader, who you can tell this, that, and the other, just so it can pump up your ego, and you're looking to be validated by man, for what? What can man do for you? And that's why Paul is saying, look, I did what God did. God told me to do that.
Go.
I kept what he's wanted me to do. So I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. But, God, you take it up with the Lord, because I'm not afraid of you. I do not need to be validated by you. And we need more pastors, more preachers to stand up, more leaders in the church to stand up and say that. I don't need to be validated by the number of people here, there, or no, anywhere. I need to do what God is telling me to do. And if I'm doing what God tells me to do, you do what you're going to do. But at the end of the day, you don't have a heaven or a hell to send me to. And you can't do anything for me. So just follow. I mean, look at what happened with DeSantis in Florida and Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the big, you know, DeSantis send the people up and right to the Delaware and Plains, using people, the immigrants and everything, stating, okay, we're going to send it to your cities, and talking about how Biden this and how they're the sanctuary cities. But then a Category 4 hurricane comes. And that person that you were being evil towards, you have to call on to help you. So what you meant for evil the week before, God turned it into good. So now you, that same person that you were talking about, so you could get validation, so you could get your foot in the door to try to get the power of a president, now you have to go to that very same person and say, can I help me and help? Can you help my state? And you have to thank him and act like you got some sense. And God brought that storm. That storm came from God. And you can't tell me that in his private time, he didn't say, Lord, have mercy. I didn't see that coming.
Amen. Amen. So Paul goes on after he said this, and Ananias, this is another priest. He wasn't the Ananias that helped Paul, but it was another guy named Ananias, the high priest. This is what the high priest, when Paul says, you know, he said, with good conscience, you know, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So in the King James, chapter 23, verse 2, he says, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. In other words, he was tired of Paul talking about this God, so he wanted him to physically punch him in the mouth or smite him in the mouth. And it's crazy when they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth, so they'll do anything not to hear the truth. And I look at all these religious leaders and these politicians when these reporters catch them off guard. And they say, well, in 2020, you said this, and now you're saying this. And they, they get them out of my way. You know, they'd be walking down the road, you know, or catch them in their car, or walking up on Capitol Hill or something, or walking in up on Capitol Hill. They'd be like, move them out the way, move them out the way, move them out the way. They'd be hiding in elevators and getting in cars and running across the street. These are the folks that's supposed to be big and bad in power. They run and they don't want to hear the truth. And so Ananias commands them, go ahead and smack him in the mouth. And this is where Paul's humanness, Dr. D, jumps in. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. When you're human, you and somebody punches you in the mouth.
Yeah, you're gonna be at.
I don't know, man. When Dr. G said, I'm not Jesus. So, but this is what's so real about the Bible. And I'm telling people, the Bible is not just some far-off book with, you know, that doesn't have personal people and meaning to it. This thing is real. It's personal. Somebody punch you in the mouth after you just said, I'm standing for the good of God until this good to this day and fulfilled all my good conscience gain, and somebody strikes you in the mouth, and let's see what Paul does. And I'm reading for the King James in verse 3, chapter 23, verse 3 said, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee. He says, you thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. So Paul didn't strike back with physical. but he's he didn't strike back with his hands, but he fought back with his words. So I'm gonna read this in the NIV. It says, verse 3 says, then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. In other words, he called this religious leader out on the carpet. He didn't go for his privilege. He didn't respect his authority. And he just called it a whitewash. In other words, you look one way on the outside, but on the inside, I believe Jesus called them whitewash sepulchres full of dead men's bones. And so here Paul is rehearsing what Jesus said. Jesus called them whitewash sepulchres full of dead men's bones. In other words, you look like one thing on the inside, but you're rotten. You look like one thing on the outside, but you're rotten on the inside. And he said this to the religious leader in front of all the Roman leaders, in front of all the religious leaders. He told it like it was. And so he got a little nasty. He was nice nasty, though, Sheila G.
Right. He rose up. He didn't go all the way over, but, you know, sometimes you just step over that line a little bit or push, what did they say, push the line, push the envelope, because it took him all. He didn't have time to do the second. You know, it's like you hit me in the mouth, and I'm talking about the Lord. So his humanness came out, and it wasn't like, okay, yeah, I know I'm standing here in front of everybody, and we're in front of the religious leaders. Let me be holy. Let me, what they say, turn the other cheek. He didn't want to turn the other cheek. And he let it out, but he didn't swing back at him. He didn't fight him. No, he probably want to hit him back, you know?
Yeah.
And he did, though he said what he said was forceful, it was true. It was just, you know how you say sometimes people get under your skin?
So he got under
your skin, and he reacted out of that. But then when you react, can kind of settle down after you react.
It shocked everybody. And sometimes when you speak truth to power, when you speak truth to power, in other words, you speak truth to the privileged and those that are in power, it shocks everybody. It's like, oh, no, he did. They said, no, he didn't. He's like, yes, he did.
Yeah, he called you out.
A whitewashed wall. I was like, ouch.
And a hypocrite. Because basically said, you talk about me, you're not doing the commandment either. You're going to sit up here and hit somebody.
There you go. And so then they try to cover up, Dr. D. They try to cover up. They're like, we just can't have this. And so in verse 4, and I'm reading the NIV, it says, those who were standing near Paul said, how dare you insult God's high priest? After he called him out on the carpet and said, yeah, you trying to act like this. But you, God's going to judge you because you are hypocritical. And so they oh my gosh, see what he did. You know, everybody's always playing the victim. The same thing in today's society. Yeah. Everybody's playing the victim. What they did, what they said, is always somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm. Unfair, not fair.
So yeah, it's not fair. See how they treat me, how they treat it. And so Paul has another sharp word right here. In verse 5, it says, Paul replied, and he realized that he was a little sharp. So Paul says in verse 5, he replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. So Paul goes back and says, I know what the law says. I know what the word says. So Paul said, I didn't realize it. So I don't know. Y'all help me out, Sheila G, Dr. G. Did he know? And he just said, I'm a lie about it? Or did he not know?
Or is he being sarcastic, basically saying?
Or is he being sarcastic?
He's not acting like a high priest. right?
He's not acting like the high priest. So what is he saying? I don't want to speculate here, but in verse 5 it says Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written,
right?
Do not evil about the rule. So I'm gonna go with that he didn't know. Because he said I didn't know he was the high priest, and because I know what it says about the high priest, so I'm gonna go that he wasn't lying and he wasn't being sarcastic, but he did not know. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean it was a good catch on Paul's side. Because, that, you know, as you and Sheila were saying, you know, they took him out of character. And the human side of him came out. And in a nice way, he did cuss him out. But then the and, you know, my bag. But, he, you know, he had to come back down off of it without saying, you know, y'all right or whatever. But, you know, you wonder sometimes because, I mean, With everything that's going on in our society today, these religious leaders know what they're doing. And they don't. But with Paul, it could have been a mistake. But I you know, I'd like to think that, you know, Paul got a hold of himself. The Spirit got a hold of him. Say, come on.
Amen.
Got to pull back here a little bit now. Got to pull up. You know, you don't have to run because I got this.
Amen, Sheila G.
That's what I said. He basically saying, my bad, I didn't know. I just reacted because he probably, so he settled that situation down. And we've been in church meetings where somebody's had to step up. It was getting heated. And then we always have to say, I know that a couple of church meetings where we had to say, I've literally said, we can agree to disagree. And it's pretty much a way to settle everybody down and refocus on the matter at hand.
Right,
and
right, right.
So he's pretty much like, okay, you're right. I did what I did, not knowing, but okay. So it's almost like splitting the difference. Like, because at that point it already happened. The person already smacked him in the mouth.
Right.
And he already
replied. Right.
So he just had to like, all right, okay, y'all accusing me of doing this. And I'm going to say, my bad, I do know the laws, I do know the commandments, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on. My bad.
Well, I'm just using what I can see is the leaders are always up front. And when they come, you know, in a mob like that, the leaders are out there. And you know, they have certain things that they wear that let them know that you know they're the leaders.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, okay, let's talk about leadership. Okay, let's bring it to today. All right, let's just keep it real. And today, just because you, even in a church, what's the best way I can say it? Just because you have the title, some people do not act like they have the title, the way they don't represent
right.
Not properly
right,
represent.
Right.
So you can't go out there as a pastor and act a fool on Monday through Wednesday and then come Sunday and you hurt somebody's feelings or what have you and then be shocked because someone in the congregation reacted that way when you're not providing proper leadership. And you,
right,
as a leader, just because you have that title, you have to wear that title with honor. You have to behave in a certain way. You cannot hide. You cannot, as a pastor, let's just take it to you and Pastor G, you can't go out here and act ugly and then expect people to respect your position. You have to honor and respect that position. So it's being hypocritical to all of a sudden put on your proper hat after you acted ungodly. As Anvi would say, that's ungodly.
Right.
So both need to kind of settle down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
so both of them, you're right. Both of them needed to settle down.
Yeah.
And so, but again, this just lets us know that these are real people. These are not just fairy tale stuff made up. These are real people in real life situations, and we can relate. That's why we say there's nothing new under the sun, is we can relate to these people being in these situations, and we can relate to ourselves being in these situations where it's not always the story of the happy ending. It's not always the story of these everything's going to be all right. There's some storms. There's some conversations. There's some feelings get in the way. There's some realizing we live in these bodies. And that's what I tell people. I say, yeah, we saved, but we still living in this body. And this,
right.
And this body is going back to the dust from whence it came.
Right.
And the Bible says this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so we're mortal people living in corruptible bodies that have a Holy Spirit that's guiding our spiritual soul. And from time to time, things are going to get heated. So this was a heated situation. And like what you said, you both of them had to calm down. And,
right.
And so we see in this situation that Paul said, I didn't realize it. I do know what the word says, because it's written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. And so he diffused the situation when he realized he had some strong language to say that, hey, let's do what the word said. And things settled down. And so he said, okay, let's take advantage of this situation now that we've settled down, to use, I call this, one of their, tactics, to turn the Pharisees and the Sadducees, against each other. See, Paul was a Pharisee, and he knew the upsides of being a Pharisee. He knew the upsides of being a Sadducee. These were the political leaders, the ones that were supposed to know the word of the law, the ones that were supposed to be the representatives of the law. The Romans knew how the Jews interacted. So these were the people that knew the situation, how to keep the people calm, keep them in control, give them what they need to keep unity in their community. And so Paul says, well, let me strike a nerve between the Pharisees and the Sadducees to be able to get them to show them that they don't need to come against me. The problem's not with me, but the problem is with each other. But if they begin to bicker between each other, then they don't look good with the people. And so this will put a check on them. And so after Paul spoke what he had to say to the high priest, he goes ahead and flips the script on, he sees the opening, flips the script on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so he does this in verse 6. He says, then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, called in the Sanhedrin. And this is what he says. He says, my brethren, I am a Pharisee, descent from the Pharisee. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. See, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, when he said this, a dispute, what, broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, my goodness. And the assembly was what? Divided. So in other words, he used this opportunity to make a point that would cause the Sadducees and the Pharisees to have a dispute from them, so to turn the spotlight away from him, to turn the spotlight on them to say that y'all ain't got it together. You sit here and try to hold me to the letter of the law, and y'all can't agree on the letter of the law yourself. In other words, now the attention is no longer on Paul, but it's on the disputing Pharisees and Sadducees. And God, again, will get the glory. He'll cause your enemy to fight itself. He'll cause your enemy to turn on itself. He'll cause your enemy to create confusion with itself. So just when they thought they had the upper hand, Paul, being a Sadducee, a Pharisee, he understood what would cause them to exploit their own issues, if you will, Sheila G.
you know, as you were saying that, it also it made me think of what's going on today, you know, within the whole big lie, within the Republicans that just wanted to have this seat. They wanted to have the president. They didn't care who they put up in there. They just wanted to have the power. Well, at one point, they had the Republican for the president, the Congress, the Senate, and they couldn't get anything done. Why couldn't they get anything done? Because they put evil up in there. They knew that it was evil, and instead they thought they could control it. Well, fast forward years later, they're fighting each other. You got people leaving the party, one, because some people tapped into the far extreme of the QAnon weirdos or what have you, and what violence, and the other one's like, but wait a minute, we're supposed to be the quote-unquote religious right. And so now they're so hemmed up that they can't do anything because there's a division within the party itself.
Amen. So Paul is taking advantage of this, being led by the Spirit. And so what he says in verse 7, he says, when he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees said that there is no resurrection, whereas the Pharisees said it was. And they and the Sadducees said, and there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. And so, so again, there's a rift in their own party, in their own religious party, or their own political party. Like you said today, there's a rift. They call them, if you're on the right, they call it the far right, an extremist. And if you're on the left, the far left extremist. And so the far right and the far left extremist battle with the more liberal and the moderates. And so now you got this battle where you can't get, it's sort of like when these political parties can't get nothing passed because the people of their own party are too extreme and they're fighting each other. Same old stuff. Same thing with the senators today and the Congress then today. It's just a battle. It's like, well, we got control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, but we can't get nothing passed. But we got renegades who are far extreme one way or the other. Then we can't get nothing passed. And it's every political. I don't care who's in charge. You always have the, like you said, I call them the extremists on in each party. And so here, these are Jews. One group of Sadducees saying, "Nah, we don't believe in angels and spirit and resurrection." And the Pharisees, "Yes, we do. We believe in angels and resurrection." Right. And so in verse 9, it says there was a great uproar. Oh my God! Oh. So now they're not fighting over Paul, but they're fighting each other. Can't get nothing done. Can't get nothing done. Same thing in the church. Church fight. We fight each other. We fight over the carpet. We fight over who's going to sing, what the choir say, what the preacher who's preaching. Yeah. And ain't nobody talking about somebody need to go tell somebody about Jesus so they can get saved.
That's right.
Help me out, Dr. G. I'm in trouble. Help me out, Dr. G. I'm meddling.
Well, that's all right. Meddling is good sometimes, but you're right. I've been in the midst, and I've seen a lot of that take place. Where you've got, you know, you got a whole bunch of chiefs, but not enough Indians, not enough folks who really want to do the work. But everybody wants to wear, you know, be in charge, wear the title, and that's when friction comes.
Yes.
And, you know, no one is praying, no one is listening to the Holy Spirit, and depending on which side the pastor takes, will decide who will follow him and who won't. So, you know, nothing new has really changed. It's the same thing. And as you and Sheila were talking, that's what's going on in our society. You got these different parties and folk rising up against each other, those that want to continue to still follow the big lie. And the thing about it is that, as you all were saying, you know, the big lie is coming to fruition because now he is in deep doo-doo. And people are beginning to see all of this. So they're fighting each other just like in the church, just like back in Paul's day.
Amen. Sheila G.
Yep. This, all that division. I was saying that from a church standpoint, I think you and I were talking about a situation that you yourself was in a church where God had given you a vision on how to take care of the homeless. But there were those that were in the church that because it wasn't their idea, found and nitpicked and found everything wrong with it, which missed the whole point of trying to feed the hungry to draw them to Christ. And that is one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, is messing with people's ego. If it wasn't my idea or your idea, and you just, what you're arguing about is frivolous because it's no longer about God, but it's about your way or the highway. And that's why you end up with cliques in the church where you got maybe like the older versus the younger, or you got the senior choir versus the junior choir, and so-and-so is going to preach on the second Sunday, so I'm not going to come on the second Sunday. It's not about God. You know, it got to be like years ago, if pastor was going to go someplace, he wasn't going to tell the congregation that he wasn't going to be that Sunday, there that following Sunday, because if he said, so-and-so, I'm going to be out of town, so so-and-so is going to preach that Sunday, nobody would come. So because of this, it's about the pastor or the leader, and you're not making it about God. And that's what causes divisions and schisms and schisms.
Amen, amen. Let's look at this great uproar in chapter 23, verse 9. And this is what I said, it caused them to turn on each other. And it got to a point where it was so bad that the Pharisees stood up and said, he ain't did nothing wrong. First they was all over him about, you know, oh, it's just so terrible. Then they started fighting with each other, and then they started going, finding their own corner. So let's look at verse 9. It says, there was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? So they're like, oh, boy, here we go. So now Paul is sitting back like, y'all divided now. Now they get ready to start, instead of start beating on Paul, now they're going to start beating on each other. So he flips the script. So after he says he finds nothing wrong with him in verse 10, his dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid. Now the Romans getting scared. He said the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and to take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. So here we go. Oh, my goodness. They fighting with each other. They fighting with the Romans. They fighting with the Jews. They are off the chain. The insurrection, right. They're insurrectionists. They're off the chain.
To the chamber.
They're off the chain. So all of this is going on. All this is going on. But I love, this is what I love, Sheila G, Dr. G, about God. In the midst of all this chaos, God will bring you a verse 11. Somebody say, thank God for a verse 11.
God will bring you a verse 11.
That in the midst of all this, God will come in and speak to you in the midst of this craziness. Folk want to take you out, take each other out. Everybody want to be large and in charge, but ain't nobody following God. And God will come and speak to you in verse 11. And this is what he says. And we need to say hallelujah. We're going to go to the phone lines after this. In verse 11, it says, the following night, the Lord stood near. What? Stood near Paul and said, take courage. Come on, Jesus. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. In other words, God said, they ain't going to end in Jerusalem, even though they want to take you out in Jerusalem. I still got stuff for you to do. Just like I stood by you in Jerusalem and you testified in Jerusalem, I'm also going to make a way for you to testify in Rome. In other words, God said it ain't over. Come on now. Till God says it's over. And they can be off the chain. They can act like crazy hoodlums. They can fight with each other. They can fight with you. They can fight with the Romans. But they can't fight with God, because their arms are too short, as they used to say, to box with God. Because God will come to you in the midnight hour. Come on now. And let you know that he's there, that he cares. And God will tell you to take courage. Good God Almighty. That's good stuff, right? I'm going to run around the room. Help me out, Sheila G. Help me out.
That goes back to what I was talking about, validation. Man can act a fool. If you're looking for validation from man, you cannot trust. There is no hope and receiving validation from man. But validation for God, that will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. That is why I always say you can be in an unhappy situation and still have joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength because he's right there with you. You know that he's going to be there. You know that he's not going to be 1 minute on your side and the next minute saying, never mind. You know that you can't depend on man like you can depend on God. The verse 11 is God's
yes.
validation. All
Hallelujah.
The rest of these fools trying to validate and excuse and try to understand all this stuff from man, and they're feeding off of each other, and they're feeding foolishness about to kill each other. And it could be, and Satan will just jump in there just that quick on their humanness.
Just that quick.
That is where our validation can be. We need to stop looking for people to make us happy
mm-hmm.
and look to
Amen.
God to give us joy. God gives us joy. God gives us peace. God lets us know whatever his will is, he's going to be right there with you. We saw with our parents when they went through their illness and they
Amen.
Went on.
Amen. Amen.
They were at peace. Were their bodies ragged and messed up and everything? Yeah, but it wasn't about their body. It was about the spirit.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. from God. That's when you could say, these are a foolish people, but God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, God, you got me. I can do whatever.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love that verse 11. You go through all that drama, Dr. D. In verse 11 in the King James, it says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Help me out, Dr. G. I think I'm going to run around again.
Well, that is really what it's all about. You know, we, as Sheila was saying, we don't want validation from man. I mean, when we leave this earthly life, you know, and we go before the Lord, you know, we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over
mm-hmm.
a few things. So, you know, all that we go through down here, this is just, I don't want to say a testing ground, but this is just to help us to make it
mm-hmm.
up in heaven so that we can get the Lord's stamp of approval. Well done.
Amen. 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 I'm just going to ask that question while I'm still running around here. Amen. Can you take courage with the Lord? If God allows you to have cheer in the midst of the storm. I'm going to go to our first call, the last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, you can take courage in the Lord, and God will give you the strength. Whatever God has put your hand to do, God will give you the strength to do it. God will perfect you. God will perfect the work in you. And even when your enemies and your foes try to hinder you and stop stumbling blocks
Come
in the
on.
Way,
Come
you
on.
Cannot stop God, because what God has ordained, what God
yeah.
has sanctified, what God
Come
has
on,
called,
preacher.
He's going to do it. He's going to get
right.
the glory.
That's
with
right.
you or without you, whether you be dead
oh,
or alive, God going to get the glory in every
yep.
situation.
Mm,
he
amen.
Said, I'm a jealous God.
Yes,
my glory I will not give to anybody else, no man on earth. So we're going to have, as we continue to work for the Lord, we're going to face adversity. Our thing is to remain humble, pray, ask God to keep us in his will, and whatever we do for him, let it be for his glory so that he can be uplifted and the people can be edified. And
Amen.
God will give us the strength to finish
Amen.
That race.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Might be hard. It might be.
Yeah.
You're going to cry some down here. You're going to have some hard times down here.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord Jesus Christ will not forsake you. His Holy Spirit will hold you up and keep you, and
yes,
God
ma'am.
Will speak to you. He will give you that confidence. He will speak to you in a quiet place. He will speak to you and let you know whether or not you are doing his will. And if you're doing his will, then he will continue to love you to do his work, because he's that kind of God. He is
yeah.
that kind of God. So I praise God tonight. I say hallelujah to him. Because he is
yeah.
able to do it. He's able to keep
yeah.
you. Able. when you don't
Amen.
Have the strength. Hallelujah. God will give you the strength. When
yes,
you feel like you can't make it any longer, when you feel like you don't have anything left, God will open up the doors. He will give you the strength from on high. So I praise him tonight because he is God. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present,
yeah.
all-seeing God. He is a mighty God, God all by himself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call, last four digits, 4580, 4580. Good evening.
Hello.
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 I did not listen to the whole discussion, but I just got on to hear the end of it. And no matter what you face, God will take you through. The saying, if he brought you to it, he will take you through it, and he surely
Amen.
Will. And he will, all whatever he does, he uses us to give him the glory. And that reminds me of a song, may the work I've done speak for me. May
Amen.
The work I've done speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
May the service I've done speak for me. When I stand before my God, he will say, welcome home. May the work I've done, boom, boom, speak
All right.
for me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your testimony this night. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I'm going through some changes back and forth now. I'm getting angry with God, but just by itself, and I'd be upset. But when I hear you, when I hear Reverend Minister Flint and preach the same things, and he said, leave it to God, and God tell you, said, be still. I told you, leave it to me. And I get thrilled, and I get locked up with like a locked up, and my mouth just gets dry because I see that God is, leave it to God, and God said, leave it alone. I'll take care of it. And I hear that back and forth, and I said, no, I might be wrong. I ain't hearing it, but I'm hearing it. And thank God for that, I stay on my right track. I'm not doing it. Oh, I'm doing all what God said do. Stay still. Be still. Let Paul do his work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. Through the small wins that I have learned to build my courage and to stand with God so that when I have something big come that does give me anxiety or I am worrying about it, yes, my flesh at the beginning, you know, my human side will have anxiety, will be worrying about it, but as time goes on and I remember, you know, the small wins that I had where I did, you know, stand with God and I stood still and I waited on him, that helps me remember, okay, although it may be something big, let me come back to my spiritual side and let me remember that he is with me. He is not going to leave me. His will be done. And he, you know, he has my back. So
Amen.
Through the small wins, I've learned to build my courage.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 9880. 9880, good evening. All right, must be listening in. We go to our next caller, 1411. 1411, good evening.
Amen, amen, good evening. We're definitely in spiritual warfare. You know, war is a composition of small battles, and each battle is going to require different us and test us in so many ways, but the process remains the same. God is going to give us the strength to endure. God is going to give us the strength to continue to push, but we as Christians have to continue to understand that we have to hold on. We have to have faith. And, again, our bodies are going to get beat up. We're going to go through so much, but understand that God is never going to leave us or forsake us, and he's always with us through the good times and the tough times, but we have to continue to renew our faith. That's the only way that we're going to get through this spiritual warfare that we're going to be in to the day we close our eyes. This is what we signed up for as Christians, but understand you're going to get bitter. You're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. You're going to feel like God has forgotten you, but he's still here. God knows all. He sees all. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're feeling through. But guess what? Pick up your cross. Jesus had to bear the cross for everybody, and part of being a Christian is you got to bear that cross and pick it up and carry it all day, every day. And, yes, you may stumble. Yes, you may fall off the course. Yes, the road may get windy and dark, and you're not sure where you're going, but get up. Dust yourself off. Continue to push. Some days you may move faster than others. Some days you may not be moving at all, but understand God still loves you. He still cares about us, but you have to hold on. That's the only way we can do it, y'all, is continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Sheila G, good word tonight and a good comment. You had a good testimony song with the work I've done. Speak for me. I tell you, God is good. If you have your final comment and close it out in prayer, please.
Sure will. One comment is a song as well. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Bible study lesson. I pray, Father, that we will take the words that we've learned and realize truly there's nothing new under the sun, and there's nothing like studying your word, Lord, and not just studying it, but applying it to our everyday lives, Lord. I pray that you will give each of us the strength, recognizing that you are with us always, that we receive our validation and our strength from you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.